All right, today we're going to talk about death, destruction, disease, bunch of fun things to talk about today. So if you haven't been with us in the past several weeks, I will give you a recap of what we have been talking about up until this point. Today we're going to be talking about Exodus chapter 9 and 10. But if you're not familiar with what happened before 9 and 10, we're going to talk about that for just a moment. By the way, it is good to see everyone here today. It's good to see this big crowd. It's very nice. Glad you all could make it. All right, so we're going to recap what we went over with last week. And by the way, does anyone here need a Bible, whether it be in English, Chinese, Thai? We've got it all. If you do, raise your hand, and we will get you a Bible. All right? Looks like everybody's doing good with that. All right, so last week, Christian went over Exodus chapter 7 and chapter 8. So we're going to just do a real quick recap of what happened in those two chapters that lead us to where we're at today. All right, Exodus chapter 7, that is where the Lord instructed Moses to speak to Pharaoh, asking again to release the Israelites, which is a common theme through the plagues as we go through them. Aaron, his staff, became a serpent. He cast it down in front of Pharaoh. But what did Pharaoh's magicians do is they also made serpents. But the difference was is that the serpent that Aaron cast down from the staff ate both of the other serpents. All right. After that, we had the first plague, the water turning into blood. So we had Moses and Aaron struck the Nile River with a staff, turning its water into blood, ruining the water supply for all of Egypt. This is when you know you're old, when you got two sets of glasses up here to pick from. I'm going to go with the older than dust ones here. All right. Also, let's see, the fish died. The rivers, they smelled terrible. Of course, all the fish are dying in the water. No matter where the water is, it had turned into blood. So as you can imagine, just with these plagues alone, life would be absolutely miserable. But what else happened? The Egyptians, their magicians, also turned blood into water. So Pharaoh was unamused. In other words, God didn't do enough to impress Pharaoh at this point, because all of the things that Moses and Aaron were doing, his own magicians could do the same thing. So he hardened his heart. God hardened his heart, actually. But his heart was hard, and he still was not going to let the Hebrews go. Then we got into chapter 8. We had another plague, frogs. How bad could frogs be? I like frogs. A lot of people like frogs. Frogs were, though, they were everywhere. They were in people's beds. They were anywhere you wanted to be. You got a plate of food, frog jumps in it. I mean, there's frogs everywhere. All right, so let's talk about the frog plague. So the Lord commanded Moses to tell Pharaoh that if he refused, that the frogs were going to swarm Egypt. They got in the rivers, the canals, the ponds, covering the land. However, Pharaoh's magicians duplicated this plague as if they needed more frogs, like Christian brought up last time. All right. So Pharaoh pleaded with Moses to remove the frogs, promising to release the Israelites, which he didn't, of course. Then we had the plague of gnats, all right? Gnats, how bad could gnats be, right? Not too bad, I wouldn't think. Aaron struck the dust on the ground with his staff, and gnats came among people and the animals. So the animals were being tortured with this plague as well. The Egyptian magicians couldn't replicate this plague and acknowledge that this was actually the finger of God at work. Despite all this, Pharaoh's heart remained hard and did not let the people go. But there was one more plague. The fourth plague was the flies. How bad could flies be? Well, Lord sent swarms of flies upon the land, Pharaoh and his officials and all the people, ruining the land of Egypt. So Pharaoh offered to let the Israelites sacrifice in Egypt, but Moses insisted that they must go into the wilderness. Pharaoh agreed, but when the flies were removed, he again hardened his heart. And that's where we are at now. So as you can see, there's been a lot of plagues going on so far for Egypt. The Egyptian people have to be very miserable at this point. And it's funny what you don't hear. Before we got into the plagues, what we did hear is that the Hebrew people were suffering. The Egyptians were turning up their torture of the Hebrews. Well, when these plagues hit, we don't hear as much about that. And I would imagine that's because the Egyptian people are doing all they can to stand all these plagues at the moment. So before we get into today's chapters, let us say a prayer. Dear Lord, as we gather in your presence today, we ask for your guidance and wisdom. Open our hearts and minds to receive your word. May your spirit move among us, and may our time together be pleasing to you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. All right, now let us get into chapter 9. All right, the next plague that we're going to talk about is a plague against livestock. Now, again, there was no McDonald's, there were no restaurants, there was no people depended on the crops in the field and the animals that they were raising. They had to have these livestock to live. So when you first listen to this, oh, they struck plagues against the livestock. Well, big deal. It is a big deal. If there's no food, that's going to have panic among the land. But let's see what happens. So we're going to start. Go back to Pharaoh, the Lord commanded Moses, and tell him, this is what the Lord, the God of the Hebrews, say. Let my people go so they can worship me. If you continue to hold them and refuse to let them go, the hand of the Lord will strike all your livestock, your horses, your donkeys, your camels, your cattle, your sheep, and your goats with a deadly plague. But the Lord will again make distinction between the livestock of the Israelites and that of the Egyptians. Not a single one of Israel's animal will die. The Lord has already set the time for the plague to begin. He has declared that he will strike the land tomorrow. So here comes the plague. Okay, they've got a warning. It's going to hit the livestock. However, God is going to make sure he gets all the livestock of the Egyptians. And again, none of the Hebrew animals will be touched. Let's keep reading. And the Lord did just as he said. The next morning, all the livestock of the Egyptians died, but the Israelites did not lose a single animal. Pharaoh sent his officials to investigate. Now notice, this is something different we're finding out here. This time, Pharaoh's like, go and check and see if what they say is true. See what happened to the Hebrews' livestock. See if anything happened to them. Pharaoh's starting to get a little bit more concerned than he has in the past. He's actually putting forth a little bit of effort to try to figure things out. Let's see. And they discovered that the Israelites had not lost a single animal. But even so, Pharaoh's heart remained stubborn, and he still refused to let the people go. Now, I'm sorry, but if I was on the cabinet, let's just say, of Pharaoh, meaning I was one of his advisors, I would be pleading with Pharaoh at this point, come on, man. Quit being so stubborn. Do something about this. This is only getting worse. All of our families are being affected by this, all because of your hard heart. Now, I'm sure that probably would have got me killed if I would have said that, but you know that had to be what some of the officials were thinking at that time. So now we have a plague of festering boils. Not just boils, festering boils, which sounds just horrible. Then the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, take handfuls of soot and brick kiln and have Moses toss it into the air while Pharaoh watches. Okay, so Pharaoh's watching this happen. The ashes will spread like fine dust all over the whole land of Egypt, causing festering boils to break out on people and animals throughout the land. I'm going to stop right there. All right. So let's go back to the verse we just read. Just as the Lord said, the next morning, all the livestock of the Egyptians died. Okay, remember, we just read that. All the livestock of the Egyptians died. And now we hear that the festering boils broke out on people and animals. So at first I stopped there. I'm like, well, how could festering boils end up on the animals if all of them died in the last plague? But then I quickly realized that there's a difference. It said that all the animals had boils, not the livestock. As we know, farmers, they have pigs, they have cows, they have chicken. Those are livestock. Those are owned by people. Where if we just use the term animals, that's any animal out in the wild, not our livestock. So that is the difference here between the plague on one versus the plague on the other. Now, I'm not sure exactly what God was doing here as far as why include those animals, unless some of the Egyptians were saying, well, all of our livestock has died, but hey, no problem. We can send our best hunters out and maybe get some more animals out in the wilderness. I don't know that. I'm just assuming. All right. So they took the soot from the brick kiln and went and stood before Pharaoh. As Pharaoh watched, Moses threw the soot into the air, and boils broke out on the people and animals alike. Even the magicians were unable to stand before Moses because the boils had broken out on them and all the Egyptians. But the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, and just as the Lord predicted to Moses, Pharaoh refused to listen to him. Okay, so all these plagues are hitting. Now everybody in Egypt, all of them, are covered in festering boils. Panic has got to be happening in the land. Now, pretty sure this didn't happen to the Israelites. So they're sitting over there. I can imagine them sitting over in their area, Goshen, and they're kind of looking at a distance, seeing what all is going on in the distance, going, man, thought we had it rough when they doubled our workload, but right now we're doing pretty good. Because my guess is they're just sitting there watching all these things happen to others and not to them. And if you'll remember before, when we first started, Aaron and Moses took over and they were starting to make these demands on Pharaoh, hardship came upon the Hebrews. But now what we have is the hardship going to the Egyptians. And before, the Hebrew people were turning against Moses. Moses, you're just bringing all more hardship against us. Stop, go away, you're killing us over here. Now they're starting to see that the God that is the God of Israel, how powerful he is, and they're seeing with their own eyes the miracles and the power and the glory that God, what God can actually do. So I would say at this point, God's attention, everyone has it. All right. Now, if all that wasn't enough, we're going to keep going. There's a plague of hail. Big chunks of ice falling from the sky. So the Lord said to Moses, get up early in the morning and stand before Pharaoh. Tell him, this is what the Lord, the God of the Hebrews, says. Let my people go so they can worship me. If you don't, I will send more plagues on you and your officials and your people. Then you will know there is no one like me in all the earth. By now, I could have lifted my hand and struck you and the people with a plague to wipe you off the face of the earth. But I have spared you for a purpose. What was that purpose? To show you my power and to spread my fame throughout the earth, which it worked. We're talking about it today in 2024. But you still lord it over my people and refuse to let them go. So tomorrow at this time, I will send a hailstorm more devastating than any in all the history of Egypt. Quick, listen to this. Listen, quick, order your livestock and your servants to come in from the fields to find shelter. Any person or animal left outside will die when the hail falls. Okay, well, that was very, very thoughtful. I thought he's giving them a warning. Hail's going to come down. Bring in the animals. Bring in your people so they don't die. Okay, so let's see what happens. Some of Pharaoh's officials were afraid because of what the Lord had said. They quickly brought their servants and livestock in from the fields. So they were scared of God. So what did they do? Get inside, get inside. Get the animals, get the people, everyone. Get inside, now, now, now. Okay, they took this seriously, all right? However, but those who paid no attention to the word of the Lord left theirs out in the open. So you still have people who had no fear of God, and they left those poor servants out in the field, and they left those poor animals out in the open. Now, let's talk about fear of the Lord. In Proverbs 9:10, we have, this is definitely a verse that I live by, and that is, fear of the Lord is the foundation of wisdom. Knowledge of the Holy One results in good judgment. So, where does wisdom start? Wisdom starts with fear, the fear of God. And the fear of God is what saved those animals and those servants on that day. And a lack of fear is what got the rest killed. Then the Lord said to Moses, lift your hand towards the sky so hail may fall on the people, the livestock, and all the plants in the land of Egypt. So Moses lifted his staff towards the sky, and the Lord sent thunder and hail and lightning flashed towards the earth. The Lord sent a tremendous hailstorm against all the land of Egypt. Never in all the history of Egypt had there been a storm like that with such devastating hail and continuous lightning. It left all of Egypt in ruins. Now let's stop there for a moment. How many of you have ever seen a severe hailstorm? Anybody? Okay, we got one, two, okay, three, four. All right, here come the hands. So I have seen some hail, and you probably have seen better hail than me. But normally the hail I've seen from where I'm from in South Carolina in the United States was little tiny little pellet things falling down. It wasn't bad whatsoever. However, we're not talking about this. I've seen video clips from neighboring states like Atlanta, Georgia, and they had hail the size of a baseball. If you know how big that is, it was about that big, and I've seen video clips of that coming down. Takes out the car window, dents in the cars. You can forget the cars. They look terrible after it's done. They break people's homes, roofs, cars, you just name it. Whatever those things are hitting, it's destroying. Now, I'm imagining if we're seeing that today, one of biblical proportion has got to be mind-blowing. And as you can see from what we've already read, it devastated everything. The hail struck down everything in the open field, the people, the animals, and the plants alike. Even the trees were destroyed. The only place without hail was the region of Goshen, where the people of Israel lived. All right, flash, let's go back to the Israelites. So they're sitting there, right? I'm taking it they're not showing up for work every day at this point. Because, I mean, really, how are they going to work? So they're sitting over there. I would imagine everything's pretty calm as they're looking over, and the storm's hitting everywhere but where they're at, and this tremendous hail is destroying everything around them. I can just imagine them sitting there whispering about the power of God and being frightened themselves. This God is so powerful. All right. Then Pharaoh quickly summoned Moses and Aaron. Listen to what Pharaoh finally says. This time I have sinned, like he hadn't sinned before, okay? But he's willing to admit it this time. This time I have sinned. He confessed, the Lord is the righteous one, and my people are wrong. Please beg the Lord to end this terrifying thunder and hail. That's it. We've had enough. I will let you go. You don't need to stay any longer. Okay, just because somebody, by the way, admits that they sinned doesn't mean that they've repented. It just means that they admitted that they've sinned and they've recognized it. It's a good thing for most people because that's usually what leads to repentance. However, unfortunately, that's not what we're going to find out happened here. But at least he has admitted that he has sinned against the Lord. And we're going to talk more about this later, but you do have to remember that Pharaoh thinks He is God. He is a God. He represents the gods. Since he has been a child, he has been told that he basically rules whatever he says is infallible. And then what happens? Somebody comes from the servants. What? Some god of the servants, the slaves that we have, and they're going to tell me what to do. So we could see why Pharaoh would have been born and raised with this hard heart that he has. All right, Moses replied, as soon as I leave the city, I will lift my hand and pray to the Lord. Then the thunder and hail will stop, and you will know that the earth belongs to the Lord. But I know that you and your officials still do not fear the Lord. Here we go with fear the Lord. Remember, the beginning of wisdom is fear of the Lord. All right? They still don't have it. All the flax and barley were ruined by the hail because the barley had formed heads and the flax was budding. Love this next part. But, always powerful, but the wheat and the emmer wheat were spared because they had not yet sprouted from the ground. Now, why would that be in here? Why would that little insignificant part in here? So all the food, all the crops are damaged, but some hadn't been because, you know, they're not ripe yet. They're still growing. All right? So Moses left the court. Let's see here. All the flax, when they were spared because they had not sprouted from the ground. Sorry, I lost my spot here. So Moses left Pharaoh's court and went out of the city. And when he lifted his hands to the Lord, thunder and hail stopped. The downpour ceased. But when Pharaoh saw that the rain, hail, thunder had stopped, he and his officials sinned again. And Pharaoh became stubborn because his heart was hard. Pharaoh refused to let the people leave, just as the Lord had predicted through Moses. Why? Okay, yeah, you destroyed our food, but we still got some other food that hasn't yet come to maturity yet. So you haven't taken everything. There's still that. That's how stubborn Moses is right now. Just keeping a little bit of something is enough for him to say, no, I'm not letting these people go. All the food in the land is food that hasn't even matured yet. All right? So, as we could see, that Pharaoh admits sin, but he hasn't repented yet. And Pharaoh and his ego are unstoppable at this point. And you got to remember, we were talking a little bit about how he was raised to think that he was a god. Keep in mind that he's a little child, all right? And he's told that one day he's going to be a Pharaoh, the king, the ruler. Fill in the blank. And he's looking around and he sees the pyramids, temples, statues built by other pharaohs. And there's people at his beck and call. He was thoroughly convinced through and through that he was the most powerful person in the world. And it was going to take a lot more than what's already happened, unfortunately, to prove to Pharaoh otherwise. Because now we're going to get into a plague of locusts. Now, I did a lot of research on this because I'm like, locusts? I mean, I've seen locusts before. They don't seem too bad. So what I want to talk to you about is the type of locust that was out there. Okay? So it's called the desert locust. And I'm going to read straight out of Wikipedia a little bit about the desert locust. The desert locust is a species of locust found primarily in the deserts and dry areas of northern and eastern Africa, Arabia, and Southwest Asia. In some years, they may form locust plagues. Hey, what do you know? Invading new areas where they may consume all vegetation, including crops, and at other times, they may live unnoticed in small numbers. So they're spread out everywhere. You don't notice them. Desert locusts can cause widespread damage to crops as they are highly mobile and feed on large quantities of any kind of green vegetation, including crops, pastures, and fodder. A typical swarm can, get ready, a typical swarm can be made up of 150 million locusts per square kilometer. Locust swarms can eat the same amount of food in a day as 35,000 people. The desert locust is potentially the most dangerous of the locust pests because of the ability of swarms to fly rapidly across great distances. So these things are no joke. I got a new respect for these things when I read a little bit more about them. So, moving along, we are in chapter 10 now. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Return to Pharaoh and make your demands again. I have made him and his officials stubborn, so I can display my miraculous signs among them. I've also done it so you can tell your children and your grandchildren about how I made a mockery of the Egyptians and about the signs I displayed among them, so you will know that I am the Lord." As we know from other verses in other books, everybody around is talking about how the God of Israel led them out of Egypt. Okay? So Moses and Aaron went to Pharaoh and said, "This is what the Lord, the God of the Hebrews, says. How long will you refuse to submit to me? Let my people go so they can worship me. If you refuse, watch out, for tomorrow I will bring a swarm of locusts on your country. They will cover the land so that you won't be able to see the ground. They will devour what is left of your crops after the hailstorm, including all of the trees growing in the field. They will overrun your palaces and your homes of your officials and the houses in Egypt. Never in the history of Egypt have your ancestors seen a plague like this one." And with that, Moses turned and left Pharaoh. I'm telling you, if I was right beside Pharaoh, I'd beg and plead with him to listen. Please listen to these people and let this and do what they say. We're just letting them go. You're not admitting defeat. I mean, I don't know what you got to tell this Pharaoh. But what happened? Pharaoh's officials now came to Pharaoh and appealed to him. Here we go. "How long will you let this man hold us hostage? Let the men go to worship the Lord, their God. Don't you realize Egypt lies in ruin?" Now, I would almost think that Pharaoh might take offense to that and have them immediately killed. I mean, they're going up to the most powerful person in Egypt and saying this and basically telling them what to do and basically saying, "Don't you realize, like, are you stupid? Do you not see what's going on here?" So we could see that everyone's getting a little bit desperate. So Moses and Aaron were brought back to Pharaoh. "All right," he told them, "go worship the Lord your God. But who exactly will be going with you?" Moses replied, "We will all go, the young, the old, our sons, our daughters, and our flocks and herds. We must all join together in celebrating the festival of the Lord." But Pharaoh retorted, "The Lord will certainly need to be with you if I let you take your little ones. I can see through your evil plan. Never. Only the men may go and worship the Lord, since that is what you requested." And Pharaoh threw them out of the palace. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Raise your hand over the land of Egypt to bring on the locusts. Let them cover the land and devour every plant that survived the hailstorm." Here we go. So Moses raises the staff over Egypt, and the Lord caused an east wind to blow over the land that day and through the night. When morning arrived, the east wind had brought the locusts, and the locusts swarmed over the whole land of Egypt, settling in dense swarms from one end of the country to the other. It was the worst locust plague in Egyptian history, and there has never been another one like it. For the locusts covered the whole country and darkened the land. I read about more about the locusts that I didn't include. That is, when they swarm, they can blot out the sun. They're so dense, they can actually blot out the sun with their swarm. They devoured every plant in the field and all the fruit on the trees that had survived the hailstorm. Not a single leaf was left on the trees and plants throughout the land of Egypt. Now what's going to happen? Pharaoh quickly summoned Moses and Aaron. "I have sinned against the Lord." Okay, we said it now again. "I have sinned against the Lord your God and against you," he confessed. "Forgive my sin." But listen to this. "Just this once." Not all, but just this once. "And plead with the Lord God to take away this death from me." So Moses left Pharaoh's court and pleaded with the Lord. And the Lord responded by shifting the wind. And the strong west wind blew the locusts into the Red Sea. Not a single lotus remained in all the land of Egypt. But again, the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart again, So he refused to let the people go. So at this point, there's disparity. People are really hurting. And by the way, at the end of this, I'm going to show you a video. And it's a, I think it's a very, very good video portrayal of what the people were going through. So we're going to get to that at the very end. The next plague comes, a plague of darkness. Now, that just doesn't sound so bad. It's dark? Okay, let's read about this one. So then the Lord said to Moses, lift your hand toward heaven, and the land of Egypt will be covered with a darkness so thick you can feel it. Feel it? Have any of you ever felt darkness? Now, I'm going to go on an assumption here that we're not talking about it was so dark, meaning you can't see anything, that you can feel it. I have a feeling this is a more of a spiritual darkness that has fallen over the land. Not only can they not see, but it's so dark that you just feel dread. And when you talk about some emotions, if you were saying, I'm having dark emotions lately, well, I looked that up to see, you know, what basically is categorized in emotions. That would be dark emotions. Grief, fear, guilt, shame, loneliness, and despair. Can you feel emotions? You can feel emotions. So my assumption to this was a darkness so thick you could feel it. So not only was it dark, but there was a dread that just spread amongst the land. So Moses lifted his hand to the sky, and a deep darkness covered the entire land of Egypt for 3 days. During that time, the people could not see each other. No one moved, but there was light. As usual, where the people of Israel lived. Now, this light is a supernatural light. Obviously, the Egyptians can't even see that area because they would be able to see light. And it was so dark that they could not even move. Yet, God shone his light on his people. How was their light where the Hebrews lived? Well, we do know that when we go in the book of Revelation, it talks about the new heaven and the new earth, and that there will be no sun because there's no need of it, because God's glory will shine for all of us. So my assumption here is God's glory is shining on God's people at this time, and these Egyptians cannot see it, and they are in total darkness. Finally, Pharaoh called for Moses. Go and worship the Lord, he said, but leave your flocks and herds here. So Pharaoh's going to let him go, but he still has another demand. Why? Why? Because he's negotiating at this point. He's not going to get his way. He's figured it out, but I'll negotiate. I gotta look good in front of my people, so I'll negotiate a little bit. You take everyone, but you know, surely they'll leave their livestock and their herds here. Plus, they're the only livestock and herds in the land. I'm sure they kind of needed them, right? You may even take your little ones. No, Moses said, you must provide us with animals for sacrifices and burnt offerings to the Lord our God. All of our livestock must go with us. Not a hoof can be left behind. We must choose our sacrifices for the Lord our God from among these animals, and we won't know how we are to worship the Lord until we get there. But the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart once more, and he would not let them go. Get out of here, he shouted at Moses. I'm warning you, never come back to see me again. If you do, you will die. And very well, Moses said, I will never see your face again. Now, what's going on there? Why did Moses not take the bargain? Okay, just leave the livestock, go, let's be done with this whole thing. God does not compromise. God is not going to compromise. Who does try to fool us into compromising? Compromising our values, compromising who we are? Satan himself. God does not compromise. If we look at a psalm, Psalm 119, Psalm chapter 119, verses 2 and 3. Joyful are those who obey his laws and search for him with all their hearts. They do not compromise with evil, and they only walk in his paths. So there is no compromising with God. And Pharaoh is going to learn that the hard ways. I've got a few points that I want to go over with before we see this video. All right, and we're doing good on time. All right, we see the hardening of Pharaoh's heart. Pharaoh's repeated refusal to let the Israelites go, despite all the severity of all these plagues, highlight the consequences of a hardened heart. It teaches us the importance of being receptive to God's guidance. And the consequences of disobedience is our next point. The plagues are a direct result of Pharaoh's disobedience to God's commands. This illustrates that disobeying God has consequences. God's protection of his people, even as Egypt suffered, God did not allow his people to suffer. So even as the Egyptians suffered, God protected the Israelites, especially in the plague of darkness, where they have light in their homes, while the Egyptians are in complete darkness. And this is showing God's care and provision for those who follow him. And the power of repentance. Although Pharaoh occasionally admits his wrongdoings, his repentance is insincere and short-lived. And this teaches the importance of genuine repentance and the needs to follow the commitments made to God. So I'm going to end this in a prayer, and then we're going to watch a 5-minute video, and then we're going to eat. So, dear Lord, thank you for the time we've spent in your presence. As we leave, help us to carry your word in our heart and live out your truth in our daily lives. Guide us with your wisdom and fill us with your peace. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.